Hope Well finds message. You finds message. This message. I well you finds you. I hope well hope message this. I you this. This well finds you. Finds you hope you this.
Hi, welcome to I Hope This Message Finds You Well. I am Eloise Sweetman, and with me is my colleague and friend, Chris Dittor.
Recorded in July 2020, today's episode is an excerpt from our conversation where we discuss why we became curators and freelancers in particular. We talk about what curating means for us, our expectations we have towards ourselves, and our relations to artists, audiences, and institutions.
We often talk about art, and we will in the future episodes, but this time we decided to focus on how we became curators, on how leaving our home countries influenced our professional trajectories and our approach to curating. We also discover that we both try to make sense of the world through and with art and artists. Let's begin.
I hope this message finds you well.
I feel like the idea was always there for this podcast, except we didn't. Yeah, I don't think we ever talked about doing a podcast ever, but the format in some ways was always there to talk about curating, freelance curating, because of the invitation that you gave to a few people in Rotterdam to come and talk about problems or worries or just share ideas about curating, to pool resources. I don't know if that's what you imagined, which was quite successful for a time, but then it stopped because, everybody gets busy or whatever. But then I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about the importance of sharing resources and this and using the podcast format as a way to do that. And then, I don't know, it suddenly was like, oh my God, this is such a good idea. Chris and I should do this as an extension of, or as a way of inviting other people to maybe join in the conversation about what is curating, but also because curating can be anything.
Yeah, definitely what you mentioned earlier, these curatorial meetings, which we then called support group, was definitely about sharing our doubts and worries, but also resources, and help each other out, maybe with some of the questions we had within our own projects or in general, general doubts.
Because we can use the podcast as the white cube. Yeah. There is no time. There is no set location.
Yeah.
I think what is also important to talk about is this question of vulnerability. I mean, and I think it's a question of vulnerability in art generally, but there is and it's something that we talked about a lot. Well, not so much we talked about vulnerability, but talking about doubt and sharing that kind of worries and concerns of work in a place that, in an industry or a sector or whatever you want to call it, that requires or expects, this professional, perfect veneer. It's okay if the artist, perhaps this is also a question we can discuss later, is that it's okay that the artist is, has this idea, is eccentric or the stereotype, or the artist that cannot meet a deadline, but the curator is supposed to be the one that meets the deadline and push things along, which is also, bullshit. It's not true.
Yeah, and be extremely organized and oversee everything and the budgets and the production. What I thought is also interesting or important to talk about how curatorial work is so much individualized in a sense of quote-unquote excellence or as a curatorial brand that as an individual brings to the table or a freelancer to an institution. And I think it's also important to somehow unpack that and even question that idea, because first of all, we all always work collaboratively, even if it's only you named as a curator. There are, of course, in the first place, the artists, people who work at the institution involved, and then others who you are constantly in conversation with. But then I think also there is maybe more and more curating or working collaboratively.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like just now, as we are sort of discussing what we are doing when we are so-called curating.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think also it's important to talk about this, what it means, this individuality, this mm-hmm. kind of genius curating, which yeah. of course also implies to artists and artistic labor, but I see it much more and more as a collaborative process. Mm-hmm. And I think we should also acknowledge that. And then along the way, it's also important, I think, to talk about the hardship of profession
mm-hmm.
in a sense. I don't mean it as a whining,
yeah.
but I think curators, especially even more so as artists who are stereotypically seen as, the poor artist who doesn't have the means mm-hmm. and still has this inner motivation to... Mm-hmm. to work, which is, of course, we can't know is bullshit
yeah.
and should be completely broken down, this image. But then I think for curators, what implies is the opposite, that you're always ready for a new job, ready for a new challenge to work 24/7 around the clock. And with your rolling suitcase, go to every biennial, but then also write very elaborate press releases
yeah.
and give talks and tours and be there for the artist and blah, 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 all the time, all of that full on.
Yeah.
And what that means in terms of finances,
mm-hmm.
what that means in terms of energy, in terms of mental health, in terms of collaborations.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of all these other support structures that are necessary to make it happen
mm-hmm.
and that are also not available for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I think it's also important to somehow talk about.
Yeah, definitely.
Because also we are based in the Netherlands. We are both not Dutch. And it is an incredible privilege, I think, to work in this field as a freelancer and in some way still make a living,
mm-hmm.
even if modestly. But I know many of my colleagues elsewhere, or not even elsewhere, but, you have constantly have to support your income also from other ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually was listening to, because I listen to a lot of podcasts, but an interview with two women arts workers who had, I think, recently been fired from a museum in America. And they were talking about how, like, their work in the museum and how, like, as arts workers, there is this general idea, and I think we both can relate to this as curators, that the hardship is – we ask for the hardship. In their case, they're talking about many other aspects of – very specific to America also, about unionizing and this sort of thing, but that – we ask for the kind of the bullshit that comes along with being in the art world because we have a certain sense of freedom. We can do, quote unquote, whatever we want, which actually is not true. Like, if we could do whatever we want, I think perhaps we would be paid more and the artists that we work with would, also be paid. I mean, it's not even about money. It's like, they're also, like, also being women
yeah.
and, like, if we could do whatever we want, then I wonder where we would be. So I think it's important, like, to talk about these sorts of questions.
Yeah, I think also maybe this crisis when you mentioned right now with COVID and the crisis which is yet to come, I believe.
Yeah.
Maybe it's also, like, a good moment to rethink what we are doing, mm-hmm. a little bit to unpack.
Yeah.
What not only as individuals, but as a professional we are doing. And maybe what I think many of us curators or people working in the art field takes this time is also to rethink
mm-hmm.
what we're doing and then how we would like to maybe continue.
Yeah.
So maybe this podcast also can offer us some ways to unpack that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think, to be honest, if we continue as we were before, I think that would be arrogant somehow.
Mm.
But I also somehow don't know how I could even change it, even though I know things need to change. Yeah. And I think that, I think actually, having these other people also come in is also going to be really interesting to
thinking of about our both of our curatorial work or where it is how we became curators. I think we what connects us maybe is both of us have this focus on artists, or we are somehow led into this through contact and discussion with artists, and then suddenly realizing like, oh, or you know, in your case, even having an art education, so being much more grounded in the field itself. But
I wouldn't say that. arts management was not grounded in art at all. Yeah, it was more just, management.
Yeah, I think in my case, I did not even know about that the fact, like that the professions such as curating or as an independent curator, and I put independent always in quote unquote because we're always dependent on something.
Codependent.
Someone. Codependent.
Codependent curator.
That it exists until like my late 20s. I was just hanging out with artists in their studios, or it was not even always visual artists, but sometimes maybe more from people from theater. And being in that circle and then deciding to leave my job and sort of education in economics and social sciences and actually study art theory and kind of take up something that until then I considered as not even as a hobby, it's just much more like that's life and then there is work. So then how to make this life also part of like the profession, so to say. But even then it took me really long time to find this position, like, oh, I can be a curator, and then you are like this middleman between an institution and the artist. And maybe that's also interesting to think of, talk about this like role of the middleman, because it feels mostly like you know, you're in a very thin space kind of grinding by all kinds of requirements. Oh, anyways, going back to my initial comment, I think both of us have this very much art and artist-driven practice. Whereas I wonder if that is always the case, because I know my education was really, and I still consider it my education, was through my friends. And then theory and art history kind of supplemented that, so to say. But what would have happened if I have the possibility to go and study art history from the beginning, would have I ended up here, and would have I still have the same ways of working as I do now? It just made me wonder, and I don't know, I don't have any ideas about it, but I was just wondering if that there might be some people who entered curating either freelance or institutional much more as a professional goal. Like they wanted to be like a curator in a video museum collection or being an institutional director, rather than wanting to sort of be in this process with art and with artists. And there, it's not, I don't mean it as a prejudice.
No,
I'm just wondering, because I think we both share.
That there perhaps there are curators that are more object orientated rather than artist orientated, or that it's or paper orientated, whatever. Like, I mean, I would say that my main interest, I was thinking about it before it came, like, what is my main interest? Because I know that you are very clear that art, you're artist orientated curator. And like, I think I'm really interested in exhibitions, which only can come about because of artists and artworks. But I think, like, if I really, like, zoom out in my work, I am interested in what is the role that the exhibition can play in terms of thinking about what a community can be in. And also, like, and then zooming back in, and then, like, how the artist kind of transfers some sort of idea or collections of meanings through material, whatever, to an audience that then can go out into the world. And so, like, I'm actually really interested in also this kind of, like, the collection of material and relations and this sort of thing. But I wouldn't say I'm necessarily, like, super focused on the artist. Do you know what I mean? And, like, I wondered, oh, is that a kind of bad? Because I'm also really interested in also the artwork once it's been me, and the artist is actually perhaps maybe not so interested in it anymore, or they're interested in it, but they're also interested in rethinking maybe its context through the exhibition and what it can mean to an audience. And I know that you are really interested in the art, the process that the artist is in the making of the work.
Yeah,
and I like that it's allowed in curating that we can have these different. You know, that you are attending to the artist in this actually very vulnerable moment that they are kind of like don't know how, or maybe they really do know and it's very emotional. Whereas like for me, it's like almost, you know, the artist like, okay, you deal with this and I'm going to go on and do another thing. But, and I actually was thinking about how like, is it really like a self-indulgent of me to be super interested in having alone time with an artwork, you know, and like and then later on talking to the artist, like this is what I like, this is my relationship with your work. And but then at the same time, like most of the artists I work with, even though I invite them to show existing work and I really say like please don't make anything new, most often they will. But I mean, on the other hand, it's like, first of all, can't afford it, second of all, like I feel like often artists are asked way too much to make new work because they're this would be something I would like to know what you think, like, oh, there's maybe an unspoken or maybe spoken pressure to produce new work all the time. And like, and also the process of doing that is very quick. Maybe they don't have time to really, you know, like, you know, funding only becomes available, you know, 2 months before the show. But also, like, I don't know how to deal with an artist in their process of, you know, it's a very, you have to take a lot of responsibility to care for the artist. And, like, I don't know if I'm ready yet.
There is certainly, I think, a lot of emotional labor involved in that process of negotiation and so on. And I remember we talked about this earlier, how I really enjoy commissioning new work. Whereas you prefer working with existing works. And I think for me, this process is also really, it's possibly also selfish. It's a way of like learning and thinking together. And, but most of the learning, I feel like this process is pushing me somewhere too.
Yeah.
And of course, it also requires that there is a good click with the artist you work with.
Yeah.
And it's of course, again, like I guess it needs different situations, require different approaches.
Yeah.
But I noticed I really enjoy also somehow naturally end up working towards a new piece or even an adaptation of an existing piece. And I really enjoy that because, And on the other hand, what you also raise is there is this overproduction in art, which is definitely a problem. Like always coming up with new ideas, one thing after the other, never stop, you know, be actual and fabulous and whatnot.
Yeah,
and I think it applies just as much to curatorial work as to artists. Yeah.
What I really like is also being in an exhibition with an audience and talking about the work and like learn the kind of also kind of suddenly maybe understanding the artwork better, you know, because sometimes I feel like I'm so caught up with being right in front of the artist. Like I don't want to misunderstand their work, and I want to be what they want me to be as much as I want what I want them to be for me. And then like and particularly when the artist is a new collaborator or person to work with, whereas like with the audience, you can kind of be free to kind of like be amongst or with the work in a way. And I also really like to spend a lot of time with an artwork in the exhibition because like, I don't know, you can, like, you kind of learn about yourself in a different way. It's like, you know, I can put up with a lot of background noise from an audio work, or, you know, like, oh, that it's changed the way that I would write about something. Yeah. Or
I can sit for a really long time on a very uncomfortable bench.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And like, yeah, you know, like, can endure. And but also, like, how I am really interested in how an artwork or an exhibition can change the way that I will look at the world, but also how my work practices. Yeah. And like, to then talk about that with an artist about, oh, this is how I experience your work in this way. And, or, what, you know, I find those conversations really interesting. But I also think that perhaps as I progress in my career and I gain more experience, then maybe commissioning artists will be something that I do. But I find it very scary.
It's risky, I guess, in a sense that you need to find a way how much you can be involved in a process.
Yeah.
And it's not always possible. And then it can be very disappointing. And it can be very, it is selfish. I know it is selfish.
No, I don't know. I mean, yeah, but also there are artists that want that sort of engagement, and there are artists that don't.
Yeah.
And it is interesting, like, what I really love about curating is discovering more and more about the profession, or whatever you want to call it. I remember distinctly understanding that some artists need a curator,
yeah,
you know, and like, and whether they see it or not, it's like, actually, like, in terms of exhibition making,
yeah,
they, some artists do really need that help and like, or vision or whatever. Whereas other artists really are almost curators in their,
yeah,
own way. And
or dictators.
Yeah, or dictators. But I also think, like, I think a lot of the freelance curators that I know, the ones I really admire actually turn out to be artists,
yeah,
as well. Like, and it's because they have a different relationship with material. And I really like that.
What I came to realize very quick after I entered this profession, you know, that a lot of my ideas about learning and thinking and developing blah, 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 and, you know, like, connecting with people, like, how naive I could be,
yeah,
and how, you know, there's, of course, something, the kind of over-professionalization, I think, both for curators and artists, that then at one point it just becomes this thing. And maybe it has to do also with what we mentioned before, with the overproduction, that you just have to work like on an assembly line with,
yeah,
these new catchy ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
Which are easy to digest, not too much, not too difficult.
Yeah.
Being too difficult is something, yeah, I hear a lot, in a sense of not too difficult as a person, but too difficult in your writing.
Oh,
you,
yeah,
want too much. And so there is a lot of this pushback that you have. I mean, I had to, it was a reality check. And,
yeah,
of course, it is an industry. Mm-hmm. And that is something I constantly acknowledge,
mm-hmm,
before I catch myself become too idealistic.
Mm-hmm.
But then there is still some kind of drive that does not really allow me to think outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think even if I would exit curating as,
mm-hmm,
a profession, meaning I would stop exhibiting in institutions,
mm-hmm,
and applying for grants and so on,
mm-hmm,
I just can't, like, I think it has such an impact in the way I am and on my,
mm-hmm,
social network,
mm-hmm,
and on the people who are important in my life, that,
mm-hmm,
in some way that will be always there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also, I realized, drives me a lot, and maybe it relates to also this discussion around the process of,
mm-hmm,
curating,
oh, yeah,
either commissioning or existing work or this or that, that what really drives me oftentimes is narrative.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned that a lot of curators you work with or you admire are artists,
mm-hmm,
or have very close relationship to that,
mm-hmm,
to artisthood.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I realize what drives me a lot is narrative, that I'm,
mm-hmm,
always really interested in the contextualizing how a work emerged.
Oh, yeah.
Less maybe in the material and form, but rather like wanting to know where that person was.
Yeah.
And what,
yeah,
happened,
yeah,
around it, and,
yeah,
what they have to say. And I realize I'm very interested actually in the person behind,
mm-hmm,
so I can't focus so much on the object itself.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I also will acknowledge how this kind of narrative, confessional, also how it emerged in literature in the past, 20 years, maybe less, how it also becomes then a sort of asset. And how that can be also then very easily and used as this simple catchphrase. So where is this balance between like a personal background of someone, either an artist or a curator, and then it becoming some kind of point, selling point?
Yeah, I would say that I would, I mean, it depends on where we are in the exhibition, like in the relationship being built within the studio with the artist or within the actual exhibition itself. I would say that I am very interested in how to convey to the audience about like how an artwork came about and also the biography and this sort of thing. But also like what I really like, and but I would say that it really has to be shows that I spend a lot of time within, like talking about how I see them in dialogue with each other and then like kind of talking about that with the artist or the audience. But also you said something about being naive. And I would say that like my kind of maturity as a curator hasn't really, I mean, I could say that I developed as a curator, but like I do constantly come back to this question of like community and what the power of an artwork. And like, I really see myself kind of part of like this, like adding my work to a history of curating or artists that curators and artists that also really are engaged with like, you know, world changing and this sort of thing. But I see it as being totally naive at the same time. But I like being that idealistic. Like I feel like when I see an artwork like Charlotte Posanenska, and like she gave up her practice because she felt like her work could not change society. And yeah, like the when I first saw her work, it completely spoke to me in a way that I actually, my whole trajectory changed. And like, isn't that also enough to talk about changing? Like, perhaps it's not the world as in like, you know, we as a global people, but it's also like a person's kind of perspective or like their world in their individual sense is changing. And I'm really interested in like this transferal or this exchange of like how one projects onto an artwork their whatever it is that they see and vice versa. And I like, I don't know, that is kind of my overall overarching kind of interest as a freelance curator. So like, I know somebody said to me once, oh, I'm not interested in community, like, you know, community art, blah, blah, blah. It's like, that's not what I'm talking about. Yeah. I mean, I think community art's actually very important, but that when I talk about community, I'm not talking about that kind of community. I'm talking about like a community of objects or the community of an audience that comes together with an artist in an artist talk. Like this, like Hannah Arendt kind of like space of appearance.
There is always this net of relations, no? That, that then are being created around an artwork in that sense. And that involve like very direct relations that the makers, the curators, the art audiences, but then there are also these kind of incidental, accidental encounters. And yeah, it does make an impact.
But I was thinking also just before we met today, like I was thinking about exhibitions that were important to me, and but I don't know if I necessarily remember them. One of which was End of Money at A Bit of a Bit. It was one of the first exhibitions I saw in Europe. And I couldn't believe how quick it was in 2009. I was like, wow, like the financial crisis has just happened, you know, months beforehand. And yet they already came up with a show so quickly to respond to, I assume, the global financial crisis. And I was actually so impressed. I think it was a pretty good show, but I actually really can't remember the show itself. But I was thinking like also like a lot of like your work has been on Value and on The Voice and V's. But I mean like
that's my thing.
But I mean like but you have, you know, it's like you have also, you know, you're also looking at like kind of somehow engaging with something that cannot be grasped, you know, value cannot be touched, the voice cannot be touched, and yet it moves. Maybe you want to say, like, what, like, why you were, how, like, because I assume that your, this comes from your studies in economy to be an economist, but is it, like?
Yes and no. It's very easy to attach then, oh, yeah, I have this, like, title as an economist, but then it's almost like an excuse, because even the fact that I did study economics and social sciences was this, like, drive to, like, very naively, as you do when you're, like, 17, 18 years old, like, you want to understand the world.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it comes from that, like, to grasp these abstract concepts and have some idea about all this flux around us. And so that sounded like an interesting thing to do. Mm-hmm. But then, in a way, like, that's still happening the way I think about curating or the topics I approach, mm-hmm. that it's indeed always very, like, hard to grasp or very slippery concepts or even contested concepts, like with the value and the voice most recently, which I always thought that it's very, like, you know, they're like these two tracks. But in fact, like, I think it's a very good observation that it comes from this, like, ungraspability of these concepts. And even though they are both very abstract concepts, they are also very material and very, very bodily, physical concepts that then have
definitely
an impact in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, in some way, like, so these curatorial interests, they very much come from a personal quest for something. And I don't think my aim is to arrive then to an answer, because I'm always very hesitant to give a thesis or a manifesto or some sort of conclusion of any sorts in an exhibition or in a book. But I'm much more interested in, like, making it more complex or raising different layers and different questions of these things. So, yeah, I know it's always a little bit vague, but
I mean, how can you resolve value in the voice? Like, they cannot be. I mean, like, but I know what you mean. Like, outside of the shows that I do with Shimmer, which are generally undefined in terms of the thematic, like, most of my shows, my other shows are, you know, to do with hope or not knowing or intimacy and, like, but they also aren't those things. Mm. And, like, I don't know how to articulate the shows that I just know in some way that these works have to be together. And it is also interesting to also hear from the artist what they think about the other artists in the show. And it's very validating somehow that they also see themselves with these artists. But, like, I try not to define too much what I mean by intimacy or not knowing or hope. I mean, hope is really a new thing, and I'm not too sure if that is something that I really, because it's also kind of a bit cheesy. Mm. But I also think, like, on the other hand, like, I don't know, like, I don't think I really have yet to understand what I mean by any of these things. I mean, but I know what I mean when I see the exhibition. Do you know what I mean? It's the, like, I feel like in some ways I really understand an artist when they say they don't know how to explain how something has came and one of their works have come about, and it's you have somehow need to, time to understand what it is when it has come into existence. I feel like that's the same with my shows, and so, like, I can't see myself as an institutional curator because I would have to quickly define the things that I am doing.
That's an interesting point you raise, because I feel like on curators, there is oftentimes this responsibility to interpret.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah.
What's the answer? What does the artist mean? Like, or even not as simply, but, like, to give some sort of framing to the works. And I find that kind of thing a burden, which I feel like, who am I? I don't want to be an authority figure who then places, and oftentimes even artist artists expect you to say something really smart about what they've been making, even though the thing can exist on its own without me. So then again, it becomes a question of, okay, so what is my role then? I don't want to also pretend that I'm smarter than I am or that I have some answers, you know, to things, whereas I have more questions, perhaps. And then I think it also becomes about positioning too, because I believe some of our colleagues, they do define, they do this very, like, how to say, very formed and very clear, give you certain answers. But I don't know, even with this podcast, right, we are almost like crazy questions. I feel like we are being too elusive at times. But then I also understand that we can't just be completely elusive, because then we also have to, if we have doubts, or if it's doubts rather than answers that we have, like, we maybe we have to be brave enough to say that.
Yeah.
You know, like what you mentioned, that making projects about not knowing, I think is quite a courageous thing, whereas you are expected to know and to interpret all the time. So
I mean, it is like, it is also funny, like, how much, like, I actually feel like I have to define, I'm forced to define what not knowing is, because people assume that I'm talking about being ignorant, and how I think ignorance is really important, and it's like completely not what I mean. And it's like
knowing is not about, I guess, not taking a stance, or, you know, not, but it's rather about allowing different possibilities to enter, or kind of getting maybe rid of the arrogance of
definitely
saying I know, because I as a person,
it's like, let me step in and give you the answer right now. Like, it's also, that's how I also like to think about the exhibition as well. Like, and the exhibition is this place that can become anything, but it also requires space and time, and like, it's also not forever going to be something. It disappears and changes, and its form and moves in space and time, and like, but people don't necessarily like that, because it's like, well, there's so many uncertainties in the world. Can't you just take a position? I think it's important as a curator to take a position and to like kind of put something out into the world, and, you know, like, you know, if I'm asking an artist to talk about, you know, show their vulnerability or talk about intimacy or whatever, I feel like as a curator, I need to reciprocate in kind.
But that's the question of ethics, right? Rather than...
It's also style.
Stuff.
I think. Yeah. Like, I think it's also brand, to be honest. Like, it's not so much I talk about branding, but I talk about, like, I make a joke. I made a joke with somebody the other day that maybe it was you with you, or I don't know, but I was making a joke about how, like, I'd really like to share, like, really, like, negative, fucked up memes.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, like, if I do, it's really off brand for, like, you know, like, everything's shit and, like, I don't give it, you know, like, you're all whatever. And I'm like, oh, you know, but I can't, because it's off brand, because, like, how can I talk about, like, that everything is shit if my I have shows about hope. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there is a thin line, I guess, just like with everything, between like pointing out things that are unjust or that are not working or that are just clearly fucked.
Yeah.
We can beep this out.
Or keep it in, and then
at the same time finding some drive to go on.
Yeah.
And I think it applies to everything, but also our profession, which, yes, we are part of this industry, which is, of course, can be very discriminatory. It can, you know, be based on privileges. It can be very unjust.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, there is still something in it that we can do that perhaps elsewhere we couldn't. And then a lot of institutional troubles as either employed or freelancers that we find, I think we would also find in other fields, like in academia, or if we would go to more commercial fields and so on. So in a way, like, how to acknowledge them, how to deal with them, and then how still have some
work done. I would say that, like, I mean, in terms of saying when I think something's shit, like, I actually think, if I really think, if it's not of like a kind of a dark joke, a joke in bad taste or whatever, like, I actually think, like, if I'm going to do shows about intimacy and not knowing and giving space to other voices and other bodies and other beings and all of this sort of stuff, like, I have to take a position and say, like, I don't think that, you know, institutions should act this way, like, or treat people unjustly. Like, that is part of hope. So that would fit with a brand. But I mean, but at the same time, like, I really believe these things. I believe that art, as I've said now, probably this will be the third time, I really believe that art can do change the world in some way. Like, it, like, so many other disciplines rely on art to convey what they cannot convey themselves, in, like, in Buddhism, in science, in all, you know, politics.
Yeah.
You know, there's actually a heavy reliance on art to be able to, like, be the intermediary between, yeah, like, the masses and something obscure. So then I believe that as a curator, you have to, like, if you want to take that position in your work, it can't be thematic. It has, yeah, to actually be how I want to live my life, which is difficult.
Yeah.
It's difficult to know when sometimes sometimes I find it difficult to know if somebody is really, like, treating me badly. I can see if the institution or whatever is treating the artist badly, but I often find it hard to tell if I'm being treated badly. Like, it's only in, like, years later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that as I grow older as a curator, like, if I really believe that the world needs to be a certain kind of way, which I think can change, I think, like, in terms of taking a position should be able to change and develop, yeah, as you grow. Like, why would I want to give my work to an institution that does not meet meet my ethics, or, do you know what I mean? Like, they rely on artists and not curators.
Yeah.
And it's like,
or even if they rely on freelancers, it's oftentimes a one-off invitation. So, you know, just to come up with a different voice.
Yeah.
So to say, in their programming, but then immediately also, like, go back to the usual ways
of
working. Yeah.
I hope this message finds you well.
In the next episode, we interview curator and cultural worker Lara Caldi. And besides other topics, we talk about collective ways of working, care work, and relationships of power. He gave us a possible approach to creating a network of support, also building from Lara's point about finding ways to support carers and families in the arts.
If you have feedback, we would love to receive your email at ihopethismessagefindsyouwell@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at ihopethismessage and find us on SoundCloud under the same handle. Our jingle was made by the band Difficult, and sound engineering was done by Nick Thomas.
I hope this message finds you well. Podcast. I hope this message finds you well.
Podcast.
I hope this message finds you well.
It's made for you.
This message finds you well.
Listen to
I hope this message finds you well.